something going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, happy Tuesday. Let's get things going this hour on Flames Talk. It's Tuesday, September 17th. And this hour is underway. It's the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Steinberg, Vickers from NHL.com on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We are back from Penticton in the 2024 Young Stars Classic, and we are ready for main camp, which gets going this week. How are we doing, Vix?
I mean, I'm not minding that there'll be no media avail on Wednesday, and we'll just jump into it on Thursday. But other than that, I'm ready to go. Penticton really sets the tone for the whole camp experience.
No doubt about it. And here we are, fitness testing Wednesday, first on-ice sessions Thursday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And as we get things going, and Thursday morning when we see the on-ice groups and get our first look at, you know, some line combinations, which we'll make way too big a deal of.
Yep.
We will talk about.
We'll tweet.
Oh, for sure we will. And then they'll be different on Saturday. But we will make far too large a deal about the line combinations on Thursday. We will spend minutes and hours on end talking about them. And then they'll be different a couple days later. But it's all part of the exercise of getting to those final combinations for game one of the regular season against Vancouver. Part of this year's training camp is going to be the Flames giving a long look to a number of guys at center. And the guy that is being talked about most in terms of that long look playing down the middle is Martin Pospisil. You know, for me, the guy that I've spoken most about playing center throughout the summer has been Connor Zeri. He will be in that conversation. The guy that I'm kind of most out on and not really a big fan of force feeding it is Yegor Sharangovich, but he's going to get an opportunity. But I just, Martin Pospisil is something the Flames are very committed to trying at center. They've come right out and said it. We will hear some conversations or hear a couple of rather important decision makers talk about that in just a second. But I'm intrigued by it, and that's coming from a guy who has long believed that Pospisil as a winger is, at least for the time being, the better look for the organization. You know, Wes and I have had plenty of conversations about it. He's a very big believer in Pospisil down the middle. I've been more of, I like him better on the wing and what he can do to open things up for more skilled centers. But knowing how intrigued Ryan Huska, the head coach, is, and knowing how intrigued Craig Conroy, the general manager, is about giving this a real earnest shot, I can't sit here and I can't help but also be intrigued by it. And I'm willing to have my mind changed on it because if the smart people and the smarter people are intrigued by it, well, you should probably give it a chance, I guess.
When I think about Martin Pospisil as a center in the NHL, I balk or hesitate a little bit, or I did, based on the fact that, oh, he's so good on the forecheck and being the first guy in and being a disruptor, and he's able to add so much speed to the wing. But then seeing him play center at the World Championship, and I'm not going to compare the talent level or the compete level of the World Championship to the NHL because there is a difference, but Martin Pospisil for Slovakia playing down the middle was still able to be almost everything that he was as a winger in the NHL when it comes to being a disturber, being first on the forecheck, being able to impact the game with his speed. And he was the type of player that on the big ice over in Czechia, he was able to still be the last forward out of the zone and the first forward in on the forecheck, or vice versa, where he's the deepest forward in and using his speed, he's still able to get back and impact the game defensively. And playing down the middle certainly didn't hinder any of his peskiness whatsoever. I thought that perhaps he might tone that down a little bit with the added responsibility of more of a 200-foot game. But he still added almost everything that he did at the NHL level as a winger, but just applied it as a center on the international stage, which makes me believe that, again, the Calgary Flames also, they're short of center as it stands right now.
I mean, they're short of few.
I mean, the only
future as well.
The only two that you would lock in are Kadri and Backlund. And I say that with no disrespect to Kevin Rooney, but he's projected to be the fourth line center. And I don't think your fourth line center is ever penned in on a roster. Things can change. So you do need to explore other names. You need to explore Pospisil. You need to explore Zeri. You need to explore Sharangovich. And maybe there's somebody else in camp that can be a bit of a standout, but you've got to sort of figure this out from a Calgary Flames perspective, both for the now and, as you mentioned, for the future as well, because no disrespect to Michael Backlund and Nazem Kadri, but they are in their 30s, whereas you need an up push of young centers coming through to help sort of push the retool, the rebuild, whatever you want to call it, along, because those players won't be around forever.
So Nazem Kadri is less than a month away from turning 34. Michael Backlund is 35. And so what we're talking about right now is two very good centers, but guys that are closer to the end of their careers than the beginning of their careers. We're also talking about an organization that, beyond those two guys, does not have centers for the future, centers that are going to help be part of the solution. And the, right now in the organization, do they have their franchise center, their guy that you're going to build around as your number one guy? Probably not. But you still need other guys to step in. It's why Sam Morton is so important to the organization if he continues to develop. It's why trying Sharangovich, as much as I'm not a big believer in Sharangovich at center, I still think it's worthy to keep on seeing what you've got there. And same with Pospisil, same with Zeri. See what you've got. And it's you know, you're still a ways away. If Luke Misa becomes an NHL center, he's probably 5 years away. So you, as they're going through, like, this is not just a this year thing, in my mind.
No.
Trying a guy like Pospisil down the middle, trying a guy like Zeri down the middle, is also a big part of the big picture conversation and a large part of them building for 3-4 years down the road. Anyway, back to Pospisil. Let me play this clip from Ryan Huska. This was Husk on Saturday. He sat down with us prior to the second game of the Young Stars Classic in Penticton for a good 20-minute chat. And it's funny, this conversation started with me asking about Zeri down the middle. I was going to go through each of them, Zeri, Pospisil, Sharangovich, as potential center ice options. I asked about Zeri. It more very quickly into Pospisil. And just listen to the head coach here.
There will be some experimenting, and sometimes that's going to be like the Kadri-Kuzi-Posp line. Is that still a line that's going to be effective for us? Or is it going to be Posp in the middle of Huberto and Mantha? Like, we want to be able to see some things. Is it Zeri playing with Backlund and Coleman? I mean, there's different things that we want to try to see if there's a fit. And if there is, and we can get to something that really works, then it gives us an opportunity to stay with it sooner than later.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All those line combinations. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, very interesting.
Like I said, I was throwing a few things out, but I am being very upfront that I really want to see Marty down the middle of the ice. We haven't seen that at the NHL level yet, and in conversations with him. The way he is, he's like, coach, I'll play wherever you want me to play. You do love that about him, but I want to give him that opportunity and see if that's something that maybe is there for him, because we really know what he does as a winger. Like, he's really impactful as a winger, and I don't want to take that away from him by giving him a little bit more responsibility as a centerman, but I want to see it, just like some other things that you were mentioning. You want to see them, and exhibition is the time to do that.
So that was Ryan Huska. And, you know, last year when he threw out a couple of line combinations in that same chat, they ended up being there for day one of training camp. So I think there's a pretty good feel, without talking too much out of school, that the Flames are thinking that. So I asked Craig Conroy about that a couple of days later. This was the general manager on Monday's Flames Talk.
The one thing, he brings a speed through the middle, so he can clear out a lot of room, because people have to respect the speed as he's coming up. You know, you think when you look at Huberto and what he did with Bennett did the same thing.
Right.
Physical, hard, goes, gets pucks, goes to the hard areas, does all that. You know, in our mind, could. I didn't know Huss told you where he was starting everybody, so that's good to know.
He did say it, like, live on the air. He's like,
okay,
I'm just shooting you straight. This is what I'm thinking.
So I was going to be a little coy with the lines, but if he mentioned it, then... You know, I do think he can bring that through the middle. He's a big, strong body, and I feel like he's going to get pucks and kind of play off Huberto. And the analytics do say they've had success. They're not on the ice a ton together, but when they were on the ice, there was some chemistry. So that's big. And, you know, kind of when I saw Benny go and play with Huberto in Florida, I'm thinking, could that be Pospisil here? You know, and I think that's where, you know, when I walked in to see, talked to Ryan the other day, and he had the lines up, I liked it. I liked it right away. And it was nice that Pospisil played in the, you know,
World Olympic qualifiers. Yeah.
And he got to play center. And he really likes center, you know. So, again, is it set in stone? No. Is he going to play there in the preseason? Are we going to get a real good look at it? Absolutely. From day one at camp, practices, exhibition games, yeah, he's going to be there.
So that's Craig Conroy on Martin Pospisil playing down the middle. And again, if we come Thursday and we're talking about Pospisil between Mantha and Huberdeau, it'll probably last for 2 days, and then there'll be new line combinations, and they'll probably be new for Sunday's game in Seattle to start off the preseason. But what I do think is very clear from those two clips, Huska and Conroy back-to-back, is that, yeah, that they have thought about Pospisil as potentially a good fit for Huberdeau, and there's no doubt that they are going to give a long look and really see what they've got with this player in particular down the middle. And so I can't, if you've got the coach and the GM with their eyes lighting up, like I sat beside them both and their eyes both lit up when they talked about it. They're very excited about this potential. I don't know how it's going to end up working. Neither do they, because it has yet to be tried at this level. But I'm willing to let this thing play out because, yeah, now I'm really intrigued by it.
Well, and this is the time to try it where, yeah, you've got exhibition games and you want your team to be competitive, but this is much more about discovery for the Calgary Flames in their exhibition series than it is about wins and losses. And I don't know if this is something that would have necessarily been on the radar 6 months ago for the Calgary Flames to tinker and try, but Martin Pospisil just did such a good job internationally with Slovakia, was still everything that country needed him to be when he was in the lineup. Unfortunately, he got hurt at the World Championship and cut that short, and it wasn't necessarily a surprise that Slovakia exited the tournament soon thereafter. But the fact that he was able to do everything that the Calgary Flames coaching staff management appreciated and loved in Pospisil's game as a winger, he did for Craig Ramsey in Slovakia as a center. And I think that puts to the forefront of, let's move him down the middle. And then you hear Craig Conroy talk about likening Pospisil's game a little bit to Sam Bennett and how much Sam Bennett was able to impact Huberdeau's game as a member of the Florida Panthers. And no secret that Jonathan Huberdeau had his best NHL season with Sam Bennett as a center. That's not to suggest that automatically you're going to get 115 points out of Jonathan Huberdeau with this experiment, but this is the time to try it. And I, like you, am intrigued about Pospisil as a center, even much more than I was coming out of the World Championship, just based on what we've heard.
Okay, now, and again, lots of international time this center down the middle, Worlds and helping Slovakia qualify for the Olympics, which is huge. I was super happy that he went and played for Slovakia twice this summer. What do we think of that potential line? And I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to see it at some point.
Right.
Pospisil between Mantha and Huberdeau. What do we make of Craig Conroy saying Pospisil plays a lot like Bennett did in Florida when Huberdeau had 115 points a couple of years ago? What do we make of that line? Because I, same thing, super intrigued if we get a steady dose of that over the next few weeks.
Very intrigued. And I don't know if you remember this article from Vanessa Kesler that was on Sportsnet almost a year ago dissecting Jonathan Huberdeau's game.
It wasn't
working. And one of the things she identified is the Calgary Flames need to play him with a forward that drives the middle, because when you drive the middle, you draw a defenseman along with them and it opens up a trailer. And I have no doubt that Martin Pospisil excels in terms of drawing defensemen with him as he goes to crash the net or he's going deep into the offensive zone. And if you have Jonathan Huberdeau with the puck on the left side, with Martin Pospisil driving right down the middle, and then you can hit Anthony Mantha or perhaps even a defenseman, whether it's Mackenzie Weegar, Rasmus Anderson, whomever, coming in as a late trailer to add a fourth, I think it opens up a lot of the playmaking ability that we haven't necessarily seen click for Jonathan Huberdeau as a member of the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see this one play out. That's the number one thing that I'm looking forward to seeing on Thursday, is if that's the opening day line. Because again, if that's what Huska was thinking on Saturday, it could change between Saturday and Thursday easily. And also, maybe it doesn't work. I mean, remember they try, I'm trying to remember Huberdeau's first year, who he was playing with off the top, but it didn't really end up working to begin with.
Would that have been Lindholm?
Yeah. Forgot about old Elias.
Poor Elias.
Rich
Elias.
He's doing just fine in Boston.
Well played.
But yeah, I think it was with him and Toffoli. That's what they tried, and it didn't work. And they were like, Darryl gave up. Not gave up on it, but Darryl was like, okay, this isn't working. Let's try something else. And last year, they tried Sharon Govich on that line with Huberdeau, and it didn't work to begin with. It did by the end, but Ryan abandoned that pretty quickly because it clearly wasn't working.
Right.
They went back to it, and it worked a number of months later, but maybe it doesn't work. But sure as hell, I'm interested to see it, and the concept seems sound, that's for sure.
It's just, and I'm not trying to make this segment all of a sudden about Jonathan Huberdeau, but you've seen Huberdeau tried with a variety of centers, whether you mentioned Lindholm, whether it's Kadri, whether it's Backlund, and there hasn't been that automatic click for an extended period of time. So why not toy with a guy like Martin Pospisil, who, if you believe down the middle, he can impact the game the same way that Sam Bennett did for the Florida Panthers when Jonathan Huberdeau had all that success? Why wouldn't you take the free opportunity in preseason to explore that, to see if there's something that can be unlocked? And if it works, fantastic. That's best case scenario. If it doesn't work, you're out, an exhibition game or two? No harm, no foul there.
Just reading between the lines,
is that a pun?
Feels like, no, not at all. Oh. It feels like if you were to do a power rankings, Pospisil would be at the top in terms of the guy they want to see most down the middle. Which is interesting to me, because for me, it would have been Zeri. Like, if I were to do my own power rankings, the guys that I think should be tried the most or who I think would be the most effective center iceman, Zeri would be at the top of that list. Zeri, as Craig Conroy said later in that interview,
right?
Zeri wants to play center. Pospisil believes he's a center. So I think that it's worthy trying both of them and giving them lots of opportunity. Where does that, if Pospisil ends up working, where does that leave Zeri? Does that leave him as a winger? Is there a world where both guys can play down the middle in the top six? Feels like the answer to that's no. Where does that leave Zeri if Pospisil works down the middle?
Well, we did hear Ryan Huska mention Zeri on the left side with Backlund and Coleman, which I also find intriguing, and I'm
and again, I just want to clarify, Husk was not saying this is set in stone right. What we're going to do. But also, it was like, yeah, I'm shooting you straight. These are kind of some of the things I'm thinking right now.
But it does sort of lead credence to, you're right, there's only, from the outside looking in, only one of those three players you mentioned, Pospisil, Zeri, Sharon Govich, to me, are going to play down the middle this year. And that's not to say that you can't swap one in for the other. If something's working, if something's not working, you tinker midseason. That's certainly happened before. We've seen lines change period to period. But it does only leave one top nine spot for one of those three guys. Because I don't think you're trying this experiment with the idea. As much as I like the idea of even potentially Pospisil as your fourth line center with a guy like Pelche and Lomberg just absolutely creating havoc, I think the goal of the experiment is to see what Pospisil or what Zeri could do in a top nine role down the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, plenty of reason to be super intrigued by some of the things that we see at training camp. Where are you on Sharon Govich down the middle? Are you kind of where I am?
Yeah. I mean, here's...
I'm not trying to be insulting towards the player. I just don't think he's as good at center as he is in the
league. And I know we disagree on this. If I had to win a game tomorrow, I think I lean Sharon Govich. If I'm looking at the big picture for the Calgary Flames, 10 times out of 10, I go Zeri.
See, and I'm both Zeri probably even Pospisil.
I was just excluding Pospisil from that, just comparing Zeri and Sharon Govich.
I just think Sharon Govich's results last year at center were very glaringly clear that he is not best suited there. He was not horrible, but he was not the most effective center on the roster. And he was nowhere near as effective a center.
He's just so good as a winger. Like, his two-way game, he scored 30 goals.
He's not bombing that shot as a center the same way he is off the wing.
Right.
And you're not, you know, he'd be
the one I wouldn't want to move off the wing the most.
And I think he's a really good two-way winger. I don't love him as a two-way center.
No, and I get that because it felt like the defensive responsibility of that got to him a little bit, where he started sacrificing too much offense for defense.
And I don't think he was good enough defensively that the impact he made on the team was offset because of it.
And this isn't to call Sharon Govich old because he's, what, 26, 27?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm just more interested in seeing the likes of Zeri and Pospisil in this experiment more so than Sharon Govich, just based on sample size, based on how much I really like him as a left winger, or a right winger for that matter. It's just seeing Pospisil at the World Championship and seeing what he does. Connor Zeri was drafted as a center and believes, as you mentioned, believes that he can be a center at the NHL level, just given his age, his draft pedigree, and the fact that he was selected as a center. That just, those elements make me put those two players ahead of Sharon Govich.
Yeah. And then how many different combinations do we see at training camp with these guys?
Nine.
I know.
I'm looking for a full-on number. I think you 100% tinker. Even if you find something early with Huberto, Pospisil, and Mantha, I think you still go elsewhere and tinker just a little bit. Like, yeah. It was Ryan Huska that said, I believe, there's no reason why your vets can't play a significant amount of exhibition games.
He also did say that. He's not a big believer in they only play three games.
So there's going to be a lot of experimentation going on. That comment leads me to believe that there are a bunch of different things that Ryan Huska wants to try out in his forward core and his forward combinations. And I think we see a lot of those.
Text comes in from our boy Dylan in Revy. I don't have any issues trying players in different spots literally all year. I just truly believe Zeri will win a top six center spot this year. He's just too good there and has such high IQ. Plus, I think they'll find Pospisil isn't as positively belligerent at center than on the wing. Just my opinion. That comes from Dylan.
Maybe you want to tone down the belligerence just a little bit, or at least find that line a little bit better with Pospisil.
As long as it doesn't take away from his effectiveness, right? Zeri, to me, impressed in the very, very limited sample size we saw from him last year. But I liked him down the middle. I did. I thought there was only the one bad game. Bad's maybe harsh because of who he went up against.
Difficult.
But, you know, he saw some head-to-head against that guy in Edmonton, the guy who wears 97. And
just a couple of Connors hanging out.
One Connor probably schooled the other that day, and that's okay. Connor's done the McDavid one, has schooled lots of people. The entire NHL at one time, I think he's probably schooled at this point in his career. And it's just a good learning experience. So I saw a lot of positives from Calgary's Connor playing down the middle. But again, limited sample size. And what we'll get in training camp is a limited sample size as well.
But again, this is, I imagine, from a coaching perspective, I don't know if I'm going to drop a bombshell on you here, Patrick, but I've never been a coach at any level. But a lot of the fun in the exhibition schedule is trying new things and trying new combinations and seeing what works, throwing stuff against the wall, see if it sticks. And just having listened to your conversation with Ryan Huska from Penticton, I think we're going to see a lot of that tinkering, a lot of that. Now, what would happen if we threw this player? I don't necessarily think we'll see a Backlund-Coleman split. We might at some certain points, depending on which player is going where for road games versus home games and whatnot. But I do fully expect we see a lot of tinkering in-game adjustments and just generally, even in practice, trying different combinations to see if there's something that's going to spark.
This text comes in from Collins. Says, I think Rundog wins the fourth line center job ahead of some of the other guys because of his PK and faceoff work. And I think Rooney's on the NHL roster. It's just whether or not he's the everyday number four center. Could very easily see him being that.
Oh, yeah. And when I said off the top, there's two guys in Penn down the middle for Calgary, Kadri, Backlund. Again, that's not to disparage Rooney at all. I just don't think you're as locked into a guy being your fourth line center right before camp even starts.
Yep. And I like Rooney. I mean, he does his job.
He's serviceable.
Well. Yeah. Serviceable in that number four spot and has been a pretty reliable penalty killer for him as well. Steinberg Vickers along with you this hour on Flames Talk underway. We're back in Calgary after the trip home from Penticton on Monday night. And we're back in the Groundworks downtown studio this hour. Your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, so Jacob Pelche is signed and ready to come to camp. That's good news. Still two unsigned restricted free agents for the Flames. Ilya Solovyov and Cole Schwint don't have contracts as we talk on this Tuesday, with fitness testing on Wednesday and first on ice Thursday at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. But Jacob Pelche is signed. His contract is done. Signed the one-year two-way at $800,000 late last week. And we didn't have a good opportunity to react to this on Friday when he signed and joined us here on Flames Talk. Welcome back. This hour continues. Steinberg Vickers from our downtown Groundworks Calgary downtown studio. I really like Pelche's attitude coming into camp. It feels like he's a pretty fired up young man. It feels like he's very aware of what's going on. Like, it feels like he's self-aware of how last season went. He's aware of what the situation looks like. He's aware of what he needs to do and what he needs to prove at this camp. I'm actually feeling pretty optimistic about what Jacob might look like in training camp. And that's, you know, tempered. Do I think that he's going to win the number one line left wing at a camp? No, but I think there's a pretty good opportunity for Jacob to be in the opening night lineup here if he's able to follow through and use kind of the motivation that he's talking about in a positive way. And we'll get to that in a second. But I am feeling pretty optimistic about what we're talking about for Pelche this year.
Well, one of the things we've always talked about with Jacob Pelche is the energy that he brings and the excitement and his ability to impact the mood of a bench, of a room, of media members, even when he's having a conversation. And that's sort of what I took from the conversation with Jacob Pelche, is he's back to that. I don't know if we necessarily saw that a whole lot last year with the, I mean, for lack of a better term, devastating injury in an exhibition game coming out of camp, then sustaining another one soon after he's been back. And I think that might have taken a little bit of the spark out of Jacob Pelche, to be honest. It was a difficult year. Mentally, it was a difficult year for him to go through from a development standpoint, but he sounds like he's back in the right headspace. Sounds like he's back to having a little bit of that confidence, and I'm excited to see what we might see out of him.
This was Jacob when he joined us on Friday, joined us for a chat after officially signing that one-year deal, and talked about kind of where he's at, his confidence level, what he's got to prove. This is a little bit from our Jacob Pelche conversation on Friday. The entire thing available on the Flames Talk podcast right now.
It's been tough, to not play, to be kind of away from the team for 4.5 months. And then, like I said, I think the second injury was really tough for me. And when I came back with the Flames and with the Wranglers, I didn't feel confident. Like, I didn't feel like I was playing the game I should play and the game I was playing since I'm young. And for me, it's just to come back to the basic. And, you know, I had a good summer of training off the ice and on the ice as well. And, I think, it's just to come back and play the type of game that Jacob Pelche is supposed to play.
Jacob, everybody always talks about your smile and your attitude and your energy. How important is it to your on ice to be feeling happy and to be enjoying where you're at?
Well, you know what? Like, hockey is supposed to be fun, right? Like, it's supposed, like, for me, it's the big thing is when I think I'm playing my best when I have fun and when I compete. And, it's been working for me since I'm young. And I think it's the most important thing to compete and to have fun at the same time.
So, safe to say you'll be bringing that to camp this year?
Well, the smile, I don't think I've lost a smile in my life, so in my life. So, yeah, I mean, no, it's been good. You know what, like, this summer I had fun. I played golf a lot. Just take my mind off hockey for a little bit. But now it's back to business and back to work.
Jacob, do you also feel like maybe there's a little something to prove to yourself, prove to the Flames? Like, how much of a motivating factor is that for you?
Well, of course. I think the main thing is I got to prove that I can play in the NHL for a full year, right? I don't think I've done that since I've been pro. So right now it's on me. I think I got to prove to myself, first of all, that I belong up there. and that's what I'm intending to do in the next few weeks here.
How much belief do you have, though, in being able to do that? How much do you believe that Jacob Pelche is a full-time NHLer?
Well, I believe in myself. Since I'm young, I've always been the underdog or the smaller guy that was not supposed to make the team. Or, people used to say, oh, like, he's good now, but wait until next year when there's going to be hitting and stuff like that. He's not going to make it. And so for me, it's the kind of underdog mentality that I've been working with since I'm young. And that's what I'm going to do this year as well.
So that was a little bit of our chat with Jacob Pelche late last week when he joined us after signing. That attitude and that honesty, it feels like he's in a really good place coming into camp. And I think he was last year too. I remember how excited the team was for him coming into the year after the great year he had prior. You know, he got into his first however many NHL games that year. I do think he was in a good place coming into last year's camp too, but then what? Preseason game number two for him, or maybe it was number one, takes that hit, messes up the shoulder, basically ruins his entire season. And I know that he came back, but then he got hurt again. It's essentially close to a lost year for Jacob last year. So now that he's learned a little bit about adversity and learned about how you kind of overcome that stuff, plus he talked about how much he knows he has to prove. And I don't know. There was a lot of self-awareness in there. There was a lot of honesty in there. And on top of just him being a really easy guy to root or cheer for, feels like he's kind of in a good place coming into training camp. And I'm really curious as to how that manifests itself on the ice.
Yeah, he's going to need it to translate, because I do believe that he has a legitimate shot or a legitimate path to starting on the Calgary Flames roster coming out of training camp. And I would go so far as to say there's a spot in the lineup should he seize it. But it's got to be the Jacob Pelche we saw 2 years ago when he had 7 points in 24 games with the Flames and was a point-per-game player with the Calgary Wranglers.
And it really wasn't just the points that we liked at the NHL level,
no,
right?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. 7 points in 24 games, that's not a slam-dunk, high-five situation. But it was his ability to energize the Calgary Flames. It was the ability to set the table for the next guy coming over the boards with the energy that he brought. And it was even one of the lasting memories I have from that season with Jacob Pelche is him draping his arm around Jonathan Huberdeau on the bench, trying to pump Jonathan Huberdeau up. That would have been a 21-ish year old Jacob Pelche trying to give a veteran player who had 115 points the year prior an emotional boost or an emotional spark. So there are elements to Jacob Pelche's game on the ice that he needs to get back to. But he also brings so much more off the ice as well that, again, to your point, he's an easy player to cheer for because he's an easy person to cheer for.
You say there's a very clear path for
him. I do. I believe so anyway.
I do too.
And I look at that fourth line left wing spot where, okay, there is going to be some competition in camp. There are going to be some players that he's going to need to beat out, whether it's a Dryden Hunt, a Walker Dewar, an Adam Klapka, perhaps indirectly a Matt Coronato or a Kevin Rooney, because from my perspective, if Matt Coronato makes this roster, it's got to be in a top nine role. We saw him play quite well on a fourth line role at the tail end of last season. But if I'm looking at Matt Coronato from a development standpoint, I either want him in a top nine scoring role on the Flames or a top line role with the Calgary Wranglers. So if Matt Coronato jumps up, that's going to push another veteran to the fourth line that he's going to need to be competing with. But I do see the potential of him being a fourth line left winger to start the season and then see where his game goes from there.
And honestly, like, if we see Jacob the way we saw him in kind of the spring, late winter spring of 2023.
Yes.
Yeah. He should beat out, and I don't want to disparage some of these names, but he should beat out Klapka. He should beat out Dewar. He should beat out Hunt. He's a first-round pick for a reason, and while his offense and like the offensive numbers, I don't think anybody's ever expecting Jacob to be a 30-goal, 75-point guy, he still is a first-round talent and has the type of brain and motor and work ethic that I think he's got the tools to be an everyday middle six winger in this league. And so he should beat out Walker Dewar and Dryden Hunt and even Kevin Rooney. Like these are guys that he should be ahead of. So I'm with you. I think that your breakdown of what the path is immediately is, yeah, maybe being on that fourth line and maybe being that fourth line left winger. And the Coronado situation is fascinating. I know that there is a little bit of a, I think that there's probably behind closed doors a little bit of a, how do we get Coronado in there? We want him in there, but how do we get it done? You never know what happens as a training camp moves on. Again,
injuries.
Things opened up for Matt Coronado last year. I don't know if
because
Matty,
of Pelletier and Rooney going and out back
saying.
To back.
I don't know if Coronado makes the team out of camp last year. As good as his camp was, he earned that spot, but also the opportunity was opened up for him because of a couple of injuries. And you can almost guarantee, you don't want to start saying who it's going to be, but injuries happen for every team in every training camp. And a regular forward, there's a good chance, will not necessarily be 100% healthy to start the season. And that might be the ticket for a Coronado or a Pelche to make it. But I'm with you. I think that, honestly, Jacob's path is probably a little more clear because the fourth line doesn't make sense for a guy like Coronado, whereas I think it can for Pelche. We've talked about that a few times, but I think it's very bang on that there. And then if all of a sudden he's better than that, well, that's even better. Like that's a good problem you want to have.
Yeah. There's nothing to suggest that if Pelche starts on the fourth line, he's going to play 82 games on the fourth line. There's, as you mentioned, there's going to be injuries. Nobody goes through an 82 game schedule without getting nicked up. There's the potential for trades down the road for the Calgary Flames as well, given where they're at. And so if Jacob Pelche can come in and first grab that fourth line left wing spot for me, and then again, be that player that we saw a couple seasons ago when he had 37 points in 35 games for the Wranglers and was able to, with a little bit of bad puck luck too, if I'm remembering right, the 7 points in 24 games with the Calgary Flames. If he can get back to that, there's the potential for him to earn a promotion within. And that's what you want if you're the Calgary Flames, whether it's Pelche, Coronado, even Dewar or William Stromgren or Sam Morton or whoever. You want your young players to first seize a opportunity and then push their way up the depth chart too and push some veterans down.
Yeah. How confident are we that he's able to take advantage of this opportunity and be there when the season opens against Vancouver?
I need to see him before I'm willing to declare that, but hearing his tone in that interview, I feel like he's in the right headspace to seize the opportunity. We still need to see it on the ice, but if I'm sort of wagering as to where he will end up, he's the guy that I will put in my projected lineup as that fourth line left winger.
I'm feeling more confident about it now since talking to him on Friday.
Yeah,
and again, words and a phone conversation.
You got to do it still, but yeah, he's...
That only goes so far, but yeah, I am feeling a little bit more confident in it after hearing him talk.
And it's not as though he said all the right things, but it didn't come across to me that he said all the right things because you're supposed to say all the right things. The tone, the nature of just... I can actually physically see him. I know it was a phone interview, but you can see him how animated he's getting with what he's saying and with the tone and how he's delivering the words and the phrases and how excited he sounds, that I think he's in the right spot to capitalize on the opportunity.
Steve writes in at 960-960, you guys so overvalue Jacob Pelche. He's Matthew Phillips 2.0. That's all he'll ever be. Steve, I just, fair enough if that's your opinion. And I'm not saying that you should change your opinion, but I just don't know how you can be so adamant on your opinion after the way the last two games have gone. Because with no disrespect to Calgary kid Matthew Phillips, when Jacob Pelche was in the NHL lineup at the tail end of 22-23, he's a pretty good player. He, at the very worst, proved that he belongs in the NHL, in my eyes, when he's healthy and when he's on it. Jacob showed that he can play a regular shift in the NHL. I know that Daryl wasn't as big a believer. I disagreed with Daryl scratching him as much as he did down the stretch because I think Jacob Pelche was playing well enough to not be scratched, but it is what it is. But Pelche showed to me in those NHL games, what is it, 24 that he ended up playing that year?
Yes.
Looked like an NHLer to me. At no point has Matthew Phillips done that. And so, and then the other part is, Last year's a complete write-off. So, Steve, I just don't know how you can be so adamant on that opinion when the last 2 years have gone the way they have, where he lit up the American League in 22-23 and got his opportunity and I think did well with it in the NHL that year. And then last year, two major shoulder injuries.
Well, and I also don't necessarily understand the overrating part when we're penciling him in as a fourth
line.
Yeah,
we're talking about him on the fourth line.
If we're talking about him as a first line right wing and playing him out of position because he's going to be shot out of a cannon in camp, then maybe I would understand the overrated part. But we're literally talking about he has a path to being a fourth liner in the NHL this year.
This says, wouldn't Lomberg be the fourth line left wing? He can play both wings.
He can play both wings, so I've always just penciled him in as
Jacob,
a right.
But I think you'd rather have the NHL veteran Stanley Cup champion. You're more probably more comfortable. You're not developing Ryan Lomberg anymore, right?
He's a finished product.
He's an NHLer. You're trying to make Pelche into an NHLer, and so probably feel more comfortable having one guy play the off wing as opposed to the developing guy. That's all.
Yeah, and that, maybe that's a good point to raise up because Lomberg isn't a name we've said a lot in the Pelche conversation, but I've got Lomberg penned in on that fourth line.
Like if I look at the forwards that I think are penned in, Huberto Kadri, Kuzmenko, Coleman, Backlund, Mantha, Sharon Govich, Lomberg, Pospisil, Zeri, I have 10 guys penned in right now as forwards.
Backlund, hey?
Yeah, I think Backlund's going to make it. Yeah,
I really was hoping that would get more of an eyebrow raise out of you, but you saw the sarcasm there, right?
And then that leaves some opportunity for, you know, is Rooney the fourth line center? Do they think about Pospisil as a fourth line center? Does Coronado work his way into the top nine? Are they okay with moving a quote unquote top six or top nine guy into the fourth line? A lot of other questions then enter the conversation.
We get to find out at least the start of finding out some of the answers to those questions on Thursday.
On this Tuesday, we wrap up this hour of Flames Talk. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks to Connor and Cam, our outstanding producers this hour as well. And that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Save. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.